Section III. Esau and Jacob. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, If it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. When her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red, all over like an hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. Genesis 25:21-26. Inspiration says that Rebekah had no children and Isaac entreated the Lord, and the Lord was entreated of him and the Lord gave her twins. If this be the case, certainly it was not an accident. The Lord was in it. But if she only asked for a child, why did he give her twins? We do not suppose the Lord gave her twins to cause a lot of trouble in the family, as it did. Why did they struggle within the mother? Why one red and hairy, and the other white and smooth? And why one take hold of the heel of the other? All these questions come to our minds. Whatever the reason, it was divinely designed, for he gave her the children. Certainly no one would think God did this without a purpose in view. God himself told the mother it is an object lesson, for he said to her, Two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people. It is true that the result was two nations on the stage of action, Edom and Israel, but where is the lesson? Whatever the lesson, it must be to God's people. It cannot be for the Old Testament time, for they never profited by it in any way. We read in Galatians 4:22-25 that Isaac typified the New Testament church, and Ishmael the old. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem which now is, and is in bondage with her children. Paul writes here that Ishmael represents Israel, after the flesh. Agar represents the church that was organized at Mount Sinai, at the time, when Moses selected the 70 elders. See Patriarchs and Prophets, page 382. The Sanhedrin was composed of 70 men, therefore, the number 70 represents a church organization. Thus Paul says, For this Agar is Mount Sinai woman symbol of the church which is in Arabia. This same organization, after they wandered 40 years in the wilderness, crossed the Jordan, and established themselves in Jerusalem. For the Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem which now is, and is in bondage with her children. Agar, then, symbolized the church, before the cross, Jerusalem, of old. Again we read beginning with the 26th verse, But Jerusalem which is above New Jerusalem in heaven now, Revelation 21, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not Sarah, break forth, and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children desolate, for Sarah stepped aside, and gave her husband to Agar, than she which hath an husband Agar. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh Ishmael persecuted him that was born after the spirit Isaac, even so it is now. Galatians 4:26-29. For ancient Israel in the days of the apostles persecuted the Christians. Here inspiration says Sarah represents Jerusalem which is above, in heaven now Revelation 21, and she is the mother of us all. Paul, in writing to the New Testament church Gentiles says, Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Paul means that Isaac represents the children of the New Testament, and Sarah is the symbol of the church. Coming back to our subject, Esau and Jacob, whatever the lesson of these twins, it cannot apply to the Old Testament church, for if Isaac is the father of them, and represents the New Testament church, then the lesson must apply to the church represented by him. If the father was 60 years of age at the time Esau and Jacob were born, the lesson cannot be for the early part of the church. The symbol must be for a later period. Symbol of struggle. The children struggled before they were delivered. In this, too, must be a lesson. It is intended to point out the time when the application is made. It has been defined by the father's age that the lesson is for a later period. The children's struggle was before they were delivered. The lesson, then, is for God's people just before they are delivered. The time and church. The lesson cannot be in two churches. Why? Because they are born from one mother. They must come under the same message. Why? Because they are begotten by the same father. If this is the generation that will witness the end, and the church that shall be delivered and be translated without tasting death, then this must be the time to which this lesson applies. Now the question is, in which church shall it find its fulfillment? It can only find its fulfillment in God's true church. If the Protestant churches have fallen and are termed Babylon, then they have neither part nor lot in this lesson. If the Seventh-day Adventist Church is the true Israel, and has a message which no other organization teaches, and if the message we bear is the advent of Christ and the end of the world in this generation, then this is the church. Two classes of people. The Bible says the twins represent two classes of people. If this is true, then we have two classes of people in the church. One class is represented by Esau, the other by Jacob. Referring to Testimonies to Ministers, page 46, we read, "There are two opposing influences continually exerted on the members of the church. One influence is working for the purification of the church, and the other for the corrupting of the people of God. One of the twins was red and hairy, and the other smooth and white. Both people are sinful. Why? Because Esau was red, which is scarlet, the sign of sin. Jacob was white, but the name betrays the man, for the name Jacob means deceiver. Symbol of birthright. Esau was the one born first. Whatever was to be inherited by the birthright was to be Esau's. The law of the Bible is that the firstborn had the right to the priesthood. For this reason, Jacob coveted Esau's birthright. Esau, then, represents a class of priesthood. Symbol of hair. As he was born hairy, his body must have been covered with a heavy coat of hair, for when Jacob wished to deceive his father in order to obtain the blessing, Rebekah his mother covered his neck and hands with the skins of the kids. Isaac's suspicion of whether it was Esau or Jacob speaking compelled him to examine the body of his son. Genesis 27:22-23, "And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he left him, and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy, as his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him." The heavy coat of hair over Esau's body was unnatural, and the only reason why God should have made him thus was to symbolize the character of the class he represents. The hair was a symbol of power, honor, glory, and talent, God-given gifts, to enable him to execute the duties of his office as family priest. The following reasons are given for believing thus: God, in the beginning, created man and the woman. He made the man to be king and ruler over all his creation, and he crowned him with honor, glory, and power talents necessary to execute his office. To the man he gave the beard, and not to the woman. Samson's hair was a symbol of his power. In 1 Corinthians 11:15, we read, "But if the woman have long hair, it is a glory to her." Symbol of Esau's heel. At the birth of the twins, Esau came first, and Jacob took hold of Esau's heel, but the younger was led out by the older. This could not have just happened, for it seems to be a miracle. This is the only time our attention is called to an occurrence of this kind, therefore, God must have intended it so, and if He did, there must be a lesson in it. It would not be hard for one to see the lesson taught here by the miracle. Jacob was led out by the heel of Esau, therefore, Esau must represent a class of leaders. Symbol of being red. Esau was born red, but Jacob white and smooth. As a rule, twins are born alike, but in this instance it was reversed. There is no similarity between Esau and Jacob as twin brothers, in character, appearance, color, or covering. Therefore, we have another miracle. This symbol is simple to understand. Red is the same as scarlet. The Bible uses scarlet as a symbol of sin, as in Isaiah 1:18, Revelation 17:3, Revelation 12:3. Esau represents a sinful class of people, as well as Jacob. But the class whom Esau represents are given great privileges and opportunities to make good. Symbol of Esau's character. The character of Esau's manhood reveals the character of the priesthood whom he represents. Esau was a mighty hunter, a man of the field. All his interest was in game and his stomach, but very much disinterested in his position as priest of the family. The class represented by him is far more interested in pleasure, gain, and the affairs of the world, and they are in the God-given privileges. Esau could not control his appetite. He thought more of his stomach than he did of his position office of priest. He represents a class of people, whose God is their stomach. They would rather satisfy their lustful appetite than to execute their duty and keep God's truth. Esau's blessing. Esau had a valuable blessing within his reach, the immortal inheritance of life. It was his privilege to bring forth and inherit the 12 sons tribes of Israel. From Esau were to come prophets, kings, and princes. Through the line of Esau, the King of Kings, the blessed Christ was to come. All of these wonderful blessings were to be his. There are many who are like Esau. He represents a class who have a special blessing within their reach. What is the blessing? It is an inheritance the 12 tribes of the true Israel, 144,000, who are to be as priests and kings. Read Volume 5, pages 475-476. This class have the privilege of bringing about the second coming of Christ and to lead the church over the borders of the heavenly Canaan and into the glories of God. Just as the line of Esau had the privilege to bring about the first advent of Christ, and as Esau failed on his part, just so, this class represented by Esau is in danger of failing on their part. Think of the loss of inheritance, immortal life, that is as enduring as the life of God, the Creator of the universe, happiness immeasurable, and an eternal weight of glory. But Esau lusted for a favorite dish and sacrificed his birthright to gratify appetite and receive but little for it, a bowl of red pottage. He represents this class who have been given great light and privileges to make good, but fail to do so. This class is to sacrifice an eternal weight of glory which no human lips can tell. Esau flattered himself that he could dispose of his birthright at will, and buy it back at pleasure, but when he sought to buy it back, even at a great sacrifice on his part, he was not able to do so. He sought for repentance carefully, and with tears, but it was all in vain. How fearful the thought to sacrifice truth for worldly gain at the expense of life everlasting. Read Volume 2, pages 38-39. The following quotation is taken from Patriarchs and Prophets, page 182, as Esau awoke to see the folly of his rash exchange, when it was too late to recover his loss, so it will be in the day of God, with those who have bartered their heirship to heaven for selfish gratification. Because of his indifference to the divine blessings and requirements, Esau is called in Scripture a profane person. He represents those who lightly value the redemption purchased for them by Christ and are ready to sacrifice their ship to heaven for the perishable things of earth. Multitudes live for the present with no thought or care for the future. Like Esau, they cry, "Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die." Patriarchs and Prophets, page 181. Symbol of pottage. Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents, while Esau hunted in the field. Jacob sought pottage, made of lentils, and colored red. We do not know the kind of coloring Jacob used to obtain the tempting shade of that fancy dish. Evidently he alone knew the secret. And Jacob sought pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Genesis 25:29-34. Esau came from the field that day without any game. As he entered the house, he saw Jacob garnishing the fancy article of food. Immediately Esau exclaimed, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Esau was not faint because of great hunger, but, seeing the new article of food, could not control his appetite. Jacob's answer was, "Sell me this day thy birthright, if you must have any of this pottage." And Esau said, "Behold, I am on the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?" Esau was not on the point to die because of hunger or physical ailment, for a sick man cannot eat, as he did. Neither was it because of lack of food, for he was in his father's house, and Isaac was a rich man. It was because of his lust for the pottage, for he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. The symbol of the pottage is health reform. Because of his indifference to the divine blessings and requirements, Esau is called in Scripture a profane person. He represents those who lightly value the redemption purchased for them by Christ and are ready to sacrifice their ship to heaven for the perishable things of earth. Multitudes live for the present with no thought or care for the future. Like Esau, they cry, "Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die." Patriarchs and Prophets, page 181. As Esau awoke to see the folly of his rash exchange, when it was too late to recover his loss, so it will be in the day of God, with those who have bartered their ship to heaven for selfish gratifications. Page 182. We must make our choice while we are given the freedom to select either the pottage or the birthright. Edom A type. The transaction was made, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Just then his name was changed. Therefore was his name called Edom. Thus Esau despised his birthright. The name Edom means red, or scarlet, the symbol of sin. Esau was born red, but was not called by that name Edom. At first, the class which Esau represents are in danger of losing out because of lustful appetite, disregard of health reform, thus they are called Edom. This is the class of whom the prophet Isaiah has reference to in Isaiah 63:1. Change of names. Both Esau and Jacob represent two sinful classes, Esau by the color of his skin, and Jacob by his name. The names of both were changed. Jacob, because he coveted something worthwhile, Esau, because of lust. Jacob's name meant deceiver, the name Esau in Hebrew, Hari, which symbolically would be honored, as previously explained, means he that finishes. Note the remarkable meaning of the name, signifying the class given the privilege to finish the work. In Revelation 3:14-16, we read, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot." So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Volume 5, page 82, the call to this great and solemn work was presented to men of learning and position. Had these been little in their own eyes, and trusted fully in the Lord, he would have honored them with bearing his standard in triumph to the victory. But they separated from God, yielded to the influence of the world, and the Lord rejected them. Loss and gain. Jacob, the younger twin, or the one who came last, by holding to Esau's heel, represents a class which came into the third angel's message by the leadership of the class represented by Esau. Jacob had an earnest desire and great zeal for the position which his brother occupied. Though he was destitute of the qualifications which Esau possessed for performing the duties of this office, which he coveted and bought, yet, by his great zeal and determination, he made good. The price he paid was food worth nothing, but that which he received was of great value. Regardless of how much trading or talent one has in a certain occupation, he can never be successful unless he has a great zeal and interest in that particular line. Esau had a great deal to lose, but his loss was Jacob's gain. That which Jacob offered as payment for Esau's valuable possession was of little worth, therefore, what Esau gained was little more than nothing. It was not long after Jacob secured the blessing from his father, Isaac, that Esau, filled with remorse, threatened Jacob's life. Both classes represented by Esau and Jacob may be in trouble, one, because of realization of their loss, the other, because of hatred manifested towards them. Jacob's dream. Jacob, at the advice of his parents, left home, and went to Paddan Aram, and on his way, the very first night, God appeared unto him in a dream, and behold a ladder set upon the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Genesis 28:12. The ladder represents Christ, God. The Father stood above it, Jacob at the foot of it. Genesis 28:13. This dream gave Jacob great courage, and he made a vow to God. Jacob was now to become the father of Israel, 12 tribes, through whom many nations shall be blessed, a type of Israel, by the promise, the 12 tribes, the 144,000. The dream which he had in the night was only a vision and representation of some future event. The meaning of the dream can be only one thing. If the ladder represents Christ, the angels as messengers, God the Father at the head, and Jacob at the foot, it means a complete connection with heaven and the true Israel, the latter rain, the loud cry of the third angel's message. See Revelation 18:1. Mothers of Israel. But note that Jacob went to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, his mother's father. There he married Leah and Rachel, the daughters of Laban. Zilpah and Bilhah, the maids of Leah and Rachel, also became his wives. These are the mothers whence the 12 tribes came, but they are only the mothers in type of the true tribes, the 144,000. Leah was the only legal wife to Jacob, Rachel was her sister. Zilpah and Bilhah were bond women. Let Leah represent the true Church of Christ Seventh-day Adventists, Rachel, a sister church, but not the true Protestant, Zilpah, and Bilhah, the world religious and irreligious. These are the mothers of the 144,000, and the way they 144,000 are gathered. But while the 12 tribes came from many mothers, they were begotten by the same Father. So with the true the 144,000. While they are gathered from all churches and the world, they must be brought into one church at the same period of church history by the same message, the third angel's message. Jacob homeward bound, time of trouble. At the end of the 20 years, Jacob was homeward bound to the promised land and his father's house with great possessions. By the time he arrived at his father's house, he had his 12 sons, the heads of the 12 tribes. Before Jacob entered his father's house, he went through that terrible struggle and wrestled with the angel till the breaking of the day. Genesis 32:24-29. Jacob's wrestling with the angel typifies the time of Jacob's trouble for the church. We read in early writings, pages 36, 37, Adachri went forth to slay the saints, which caused them to cry at night for deliverance. This was the time of Jacob's trouble. See also Patriarchs and Prophets, pages 202-203. Type of Promised Land Israel in Father's House. If the Promised Land of Canaan is the type of the promised heavenly Canaan, then Jacob's father's house is the type of our father's house. Just so, when Israel the true enters our father's house in the heavenly Canaan, there will be the 12 tribes, the 144,000. The question arises, are these all that will be saved in the third angel's message? Remember that when Jacob entered his father's house, with his 12 sons he had many servants, male and female, that outnumbered his tribe's sons many times. Just so with Israel the true, who will have with them a great multitude which no man could number. Revelation 7:9. The great multitude came by the effort of the tribes after the fulfillment of Ezekiel 9. This study cannot fit another case, nor any other church in all the history on the earth. Seventh-day Adventists are the only people and church that has ever been called Israel, who have the truth of health reform, and that would be in danger of selling their birthright for a bowl of pottage. By this fact alone, while there are many others, we may know that the Seventh-day Adventist Church is God's church.